Keith Ellison is Minnesota's Attorney General. His job is to serve Minnesotans and allow them to afford their lives and live with dignity, safety, and respect. Attorney General Keith Ellison is back with us on KEXE, KBXE. Thank you for being here.
Hey, glad to be with you. How are you?
Good, good. So I was looking at your website. It says that your guiding values are generosity and inclusion. And that leads me to, you know, the challenges that you must face in your job. Especially this week, your name was in the news a lot as bars and restaurants, they're not open yet. They will be in a limited format June 1st, but some bars were trying to open. I'm wondering if you can help us understand what happened and how do you address people who think that that means you are against small businesses?
Yeah, well, the fact is that I not only was a small business owner myself, I grew up I was raised by a small business owner. I'm a great supporter of small business owners. And it's my job to keep small business owners and everybody else I can healthy, safe, and alive. And that means in the midst of a pandemic, and the last number I saw, which is a few days ago, was about 748 dead. This pandemic is a real dangerous threat. And the only way we have, since we do not have a vaccine yet, is social distancing. And so I'm trying to make sure that people can continue to be small business owners. I mean, let me just say this. You know, we say 748 dead. That's a number. But that's 748 funerals, 748 families who lost someone they will never see again because of COVID, So to say that, well, Keith Ellison is not for us because he's trying to make us obey the law, which in the executive order is the law, I think that is a short-sighted way of looking at it, and it ignores the greater horror and evil that is out there, which is this pandemic. So I guess that's what I have to say about it.
So, Keith, what happens if all these businesses and restaurants band together and just decide to do it? Do you have enough personnel? And what would actually happen if they did that? What repercussions are there?
Well, the repercussions is that you'd have a lot of people who die, right? That's the main repercussion. It would mean you'd have a lot of people who are really sick. It would mean that you'd have a spike in hospital usage, which may mean that your ER visit is delayed. It may mean that other surgeries that you've got to have are delayed because doctors are occupied with the spike in COVID. That's the real implication. I think that it's not proper to look at this thing as what is the attorney general going to do? What is the county attorney going to do? What are the police going to do? What's the governor going to do? If the only thing keeping you from doing the right thing is law enforcement, then the right thing has no chance. I mean, what would happen if every single person decided to drive 95 miles an hour down the road? Those speeding laws are not in place because the government's trying to be heavy-handed. They're in place because traffic fatalities are a real thing, and we're trying to keep people alive and drive safely. And in the same way is this COVID. So what would I do if everybody decided to violate the law? Quite honestly, I don't know what I would do. I don't have any good answers for that. I would mostly feel a tremendous sense of sadness because it would mean that we now have descended into anarchy and have abandoned law and order.
Oh, boy, it's a lot going on. I want to talk about some of the things that your office deals with, and I'm assuming there is always issues with fraud, but heightened so much more during this pandemic. I know some of the things that your office has been working on. Can you tell us a little bit about Red Star Trader, what they were doing, and how you dealt with it?
Well, that is a case of price gouging. So one of the first executive orders that the governor passed was an executive order which said that if you increase prices 20% within, since the pandemic, and we can show that you've essentially raised them because of the pandemic, or in response to the pandemic, that we would deem that to be a illegal price gouging. And you would have a defense if you could show that your inputs have went up. But if you couldn't justify the price increase, that would can be considered price gouging, and you can't do it. So what we did is, with regard to that particular entity, we contacted them. We told them that they couldn't do it, and we charged them, you know, civilly, not criminally. And we entered into an agreement with them where they would stop doing that. And if they did it more, then they would have to face civil fines. But, you know, let me just tell you, one of the things that is particularly dangerous during a pandemic is galloping inflation and prices that people simply cannot afford when they're being laid off and furloughed by their jobs. And so one of the things we had to do was just make sure prices remain stable. In the beginning, we saw a lot of respirator masks, like N95 masks and hand sanitizer, cleanser, disinfectant spray, toilet paper. Now what we're seeing more of is food, rice, meat, eggs, things like that. But we're telling retailers, don't try to take advantage of this moment because people's fear and desperation. Keep your prices stable. But if you're getting a dramatic increase from your supplier, we'll listen to that conversation. But what we really need to do is to keep people as economically stable as we can, as so many people are facing layoffs. So many people are facing, they can't pay their rent, and so much economic trouble is happening. We don't need galloping prices at the same time.
So walk me through this. I bought a pound of hamburger a couple days ago. It was $9.74. That's all legit because of all the stuff that's going on in these factories? And
no, I wouldn't. I don't mean to imply that at all. what I'm saying is, if we look at since before the crisis, if that hamburger was 20% less before in the last 3-4 weeks or 5 weeks, then that well could be a case of price gouging. Based on what you're telling me, that might provoke an investigation. We believe in due process. We would find the facts and make sure that it really did violate the executive order prohibiting price gouging. But if after an investigation it did, we'd reach out to the retailer. We'd say, we have a problem here, and we say you need to cease and desist unless you have some legitimate reason. And if they don't really have one, we will tell them we're going to take you to court unless you stop, and you have to enter into an agreement that you will stop, or you're going to have to deal with some civil fines.
Is that how this happens, where individuals come to your office and say this is happening to them, and then you start investigating?
Yes, we've gotten over 2,000 complaints, and that was as of Monday. I'm pretty sure we've gotten several hundred more since then.
That is Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison. He's giving us some of his time today as we try to learn more about some of the things going on in the state due to the pandemic. We received a press release from a local organization about some of the frauds and scams for especially older adults to be paying attention to. What do you know about, like, counterfeit stimulus checks is some of the things they've seen there, or IRS
right.
scams and Social Security stuff? What can you tell us about that?
Well, we've got about 105 as of last Tuesday of those, and they range. You have some. We've had to address some folks who some chiropractors who said that it was a protection, a precaution against COVID-19. It is not, and you can't advertise that as such. We've had advertisements of like home tests you can do. We don't really have that yet. You've got to go to the doctor for a legitimate test. We've had fake people scams involving the stimulus checks and things like that. And then a lot of the scams are, you need to call us and give us your information because there's a tax problem you've got to solve, and you got to do that now. And if you don't do that and give us your Social Security number, there's going to be all kinds of bad things happening. So then sometimes seniors call and give that information, and then they're the victim of identity theft. So we're busy trying to stamp that out because, again, you know, people tend to be, at these moments, desperate, afraid. They don't know where to turn. They often do turn to us, so we do all we can to try to protect them.
So we're talking about some of the things that have happened, occurred because of the pandemic. How are you and your office involved with the governor in making some decisions about what's going on? Are you involved in that kind of conversation?
Well, my office is the legal office for the state, right? So I'm the chief legal officer for the state. So, and when it comes to helping to draft some of the executive orders, the language, my staff members do that. Not only them, but they play a very critical role in that and pull the oar a lot. Also, I sit on the executive council. So whenever the governor issues an executive order, it is the law for a few days until the executive council passes it. And then within 30 days, the legislature has the ability to either rescind it or not. The executive council are made up of statewide office holders who've been elected by the people, and they include the governor, myself, the attorney general. They include the Secretary of State. They include the Lieutenant Governor and the State Auditor. So we meet generally 2 or 3 days to discuss and vote on these executive orders. And the goal is always to make sure that they enhance public safety or at least minimize harm to the overall economy.
Well, one of the things your office also does is you work with other states when it comes to things going on federally. I wonder if you can give us a quick understanding of, you've been involved in the defense of the of health care, of ACA.
Yeah, Affordable Care Act.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so you know, that's another thing. You know, the Attorney General has different, we have a number of things that we do. One thing we do, as you already pointed out, we represent every single state agency, board, and commission in the state of Minnesota. Board of Pharmacy, the Attorney General is their lawyer. We also do litigation that we initiate on behalf of the people of the state of Minnesota. And then the other thing that we do is we engage in multi-state action sometimes. You mentioned the Affordable Care Act. We definitely are involved in defending that because the federal government under President Trump refused to defend the law, so we had to. We joined with California and a few other states to do that. But we do that actually fairly regularly. And the other thing that you should know is that we're in a multi-state litigation with regard to, say, opioids. So we're suing Purdue Pharma, that's the opioid manufacturer that willingly and knowingly pushed and minimized the effects of opioids and the highly addictive effects of this drug, lied about it, and so we took them to court. We're suing the leading vaping company, Juul, because they marketed to kids, and they knew better, and they did it deliberately to try to addict them. And we also, you know, we're doing other actions that we believe are critical to the health, safety, welfare of the people of the state. So that we're busy on that front quite a lot. And it so happens that a lot of states see similar problems that we see. We did an investigation on Amazon, which is when it comes to anti-competitive practices and squeezing out small businesses opportunities. And, you know, small businesses, small retailers are really being hit really hard by Amazon these days. And so we, as the Attorney General, who almost all of us are authorized to enforce antitrust law and anti-monopoly law, we're busy doing that. So those are just a few things that we do. And we're always monitoring the landscape to see what the threats are to the people of the state And often those states, those threats are also threats to people in other states as well. So, yeah, so that's definitely a piece of our work.
Okay, before we let you go, I think a few weeks ago when we talked to you, you were listening to, I think, non-word cello music when you're at home. I'm wondering if you've shifted gears to piano now or anything else, fiddle or...
You know what I've been doing, man? I have been playing. I've been playing a lot of. There's a guy named Silvio Rodriguez who's a Cuban guitarist. I don't know if anybody's a Silvio Rodriguez fan, but I've been listening to him because my wife loves his music, and so she's got me hooked on it. So that's what I've been listening to.
How are you,
my Spanish is not very good, but I still like the music.
Nice. I hope things are going well. How's your family? Everybody healthy and doing okay?
Well, I guess you didn't know that about 4 weeks ago, my mother died from COVID-19.
Yeah.
And so we're recovering from that. I hate to drop that on you.
No,
but
no.
You
yeah.
asked.
Yeah.
You know, but that is something that we're recovering from. My daughter's been in her house, helping us go through her boxes and get all of her affairs together. And it was sad because we really couldn't have the kind of funeral we wanted. You know, my mom was a social worker. She took care of a lot of people. And, you know, she was beloved at her church. And yet she couldn't even get a Catholic ceremony because the archdiocese said no priest could attend any funeral. And, you know, we had to be 6 feet apart. We had to wear masks at the service. And it's just, I mean, there's a lot of people going through that now, not just the Ellisons, but a lot of people. And my heart goes out to all of them.
I just want to ask you, I mean, will there be a time when things calm down when maybe you will have a celebration of her life?
Yeah, we're absolutely planning that right now. You know, we're going to do that. And I think a lot of families are doing that. I can tell you that, you know, the Catholic Church is very sad they couldn't be there, but they've assured us that they will be there when we do her celebration of life at the right and proper time, when we can hug each other, when we can cry on each other's shoulder a little bit and just remember the wonderful person that she lived her life to be. And that, but a lot of families across Minnesota are dealing with that right now, and it's a serious matter, and it's COVID-19, and it's a pandemic, and it's hard on everyone. So we're trying to do the best we can with what we got. But, you know, I'm just trying to be the man my mother raised me to be. That's all. And we'll always remember her. So thank you guys for having us today, and yeah. We'll be with you anytime you call.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
You bet.
That's Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. If you have price gouging, if you know of a fraud or a scam, you can contact his office. Check out their website, ag.state.mn.us, or give us a call at 800-662-5799. This is the Thursday Morning Show.